Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're exploring UBS's groundbreaking Oncology Impact Fund, an impact investing initiative aimed at developing cancer treatments. With a record fund of close to $500 million raised, investments will be made in early stage oncology to accelerate new cures. We'll hear this week from analysts and experts from across UBS and from the partner manager of the fund, MPM Capital. We'll learn how the initiative fits into the bigger picture of UBS's interest in sustainable investing, find out how the fund works, and explore the ground where investment and science intersect. We start with Dominic Vale, head of Ultra High Net Worth and Alternatives for UBS Wealth Management's Investment Products and Services Unit. We asked Dominic to tell us about the Oncology Fund, to give us the background.
The background to it was that, you know, one in two people are likely to contract cancer. New cases are expected to be up 70% over the next two decades. And cancer is expected to outpace population growth by 3 to 1. So it's something that's very definitely a societal issue. And what I think is also interesting is that the data that we have is 60% of the world's new annual cases occur in Africa, Asia, Central and South America. So there is an emerging market phenomenon to this, and 70% of the deaths are likely also to be in the emerging world. So as a theme, clearly something that is very significant from a society perspective. And then when you look at oncology itself as a theme within the healthcare stroke pharmaceutical sector, clearly it's very much a sector which is perceived from an investment standpoint to be high impact and high growth.
Mark Hafley is Global Chief Investment Officer at UBS. Why is oncology impact investing attractive from a strategy perspective?
At UBS, in the CIO office, we have three key themes that form a basis for a lot of our long-term investments, and this is urbanization, population growth, and the aging of the population. Population growth and the aging of the population both play into oncology as a theme. And what we're seeing on the ground is that this is a very valid space for investment. We're seeing $100 billion in revenues for oncology currently, and it's growing at a rapid rate. It's growing at about 10% a year for the market overall and 15% for the most exciting area, which is immuno-oncology. So there's this broader kind of demographic trend that makes us believe that oncology drugs, the growth in that market is going to far exceed GDP growth globally. The combination of the regulatory environment, the demographics, and the advances in research make this an extremely attractive area for us to see as a growth market for investors.
Ansbert Gadicker, co-founder at MPM Capital and one of the partners investing the Oncology Impact Fund, explains why oncology is an attractive investment area from a scientific perspective.
We all know that there's a huge medical need in oncology, so don't have to get into that. But particularly over the last 5 years, we've seen major advances in both the scientific understanding as well as therapeutic results in cancer therapy. And most of the advances we have found are in the area of immuno-oncology, where we really now understand better and better how the body's own immune system is fighting cancer and how we can actually use therapeutics to assist the immune system to fight cancer more effectively. And that has, over the last few years, really led to a number of new therapies that actually are able to cure a significant portion of very, very late stage patients. So it's a big paradigm shift where, let's say, 5 or 10 years ago, it was perceived as a win if you were able to have a remission in cancer for a few months. And today, the bar on what we want to achieve really moved very far. Today, we want to see a significant number of patients cured with new therapies.
So where specifically is the opportunity here, and how does the partnership with MPM Capital take shape? Dominic Vale, again.
Because a lot of the pharma companies want clearer, more immediate payoffs, one area of the sort of the waterfall, as it were, in this area that hasn't got the sort of investment that perhaps it needs is the translational phase, which is the move from academic research to clinical trials. And if you look at a recent review done on this, I think the figures are something in the range of 6 to 7 billion spent on translational efforts, 48 billion on basic research, and 125 billion on clinical development. Now, that translational bit of the equation is obviously much earlier, it's higher risk, but obviously potentially quite a lot higher return. And that's the area that we really wanted to focus on, because that's where the spending or the investment needs to be made. But to be able to extract the value there, we needed to identify a really, really top manager. And so we approached MPM. I think MPM, their reputation speaks for themselves. They've had 20 years of identifying breakthrough therapies. And it's fair to say that Ansbach, Gadeke, and Bard Giesemann are both very much leaders in their field. And I think also it's fair to say that when you look at MPM over the last 10 years, they've had the top record in the industry of IPOing, with over 34 IPOs over the course of the last 10 years.
Next, let's hear more from MPM. Dominic was just talking about the partnership there. Bard Giesemann is Managing Director at MPM Capital. He explains more about the fund itself.
It wound up being a $470 million cancer therapeutics-only fund, so we're only investing in companies that are developing next-generation cancer therapeutics, and has a number of interesting characteristics to it, including the fact that most of the companies that we're going to be investing are companies that we actually create from scratch, which distinguishes us significantly from many of our competitors in the venture capital area. So these are companies where we find the technology, we negotiate the licenses with academia, we put the management team together, and then we manage these companies all the way to exit.
How have UBS and MPM designed the fund? What were the key consideration? Bard, again.
Yeah, it was interesting. So that started almost 2 years ago, and UBS Wealth Management approached us directly, and they really had a sort of a clean slate. They knew they wanted to do something within life sciences. They didn't have any strong biases about structure or disease focus. But for Ansbert and I, who they originally spoke with, and Chris Barden, it was clear that the disease focus was going to be on cancer. And that is because we expected the financial returns to be the greatest in this area. This is an area of biopharma that's seen the greatest number of IPOs and also the greatest amount of deal activity in the last several years. And that's something that we expect will continue for at least the next 15 to 20 years. And when they asked us to design this fund, they wanted really good financial returns, but they also wanted to do something that would make a positive social impact. And investing in cancer, the financial goals and the social goals are completely aligned, because we and our investors only make money if we're developing cures for cancer, which to date would be fatal.
Still to come on The Bulletin with UBS, we'll look at how the Oncology Impact Fund fits into the agenda of UBS and Society, the cross-divisional platform covering all of UBS activity and capability in sustainable investing. Let's hear next from Caroline Anstey, Global Head of UBS and Society. How does the Oncology Impact Fund fit into the bigger picture?
UBS and Society was set up in 2014 to bring together everything the bank does for its clients, for its own business, and for its communities in the social, environmental, sustainable space. So it covers how we run our own business, the products we offer, such as impact investing and sustainable investing, green bonds for our clients, and our investment in local communities where we live and work.
So the broad aims are to ensure that sustainability becomes an everyday standard and to channel more investments through innovative mechanisms to facilitate the change. Is that an easy conversation, though? Caroline, again.
It's easier than one might think, because I think a lot of clients, if they would like to do good as well as do well, the natural response is yes. And I think what we're finding is that there is a lot of reception, as you see from the Oncology Fund, with people who would like to have strong financial performance and strong social and environmental performance. And we want to give them more and more opportunities in that space. So I think it's by no means a norm as yet, but I think there is growing demand out there, and I think when it begins to switch, it's going to move very fast.
Let's look in more detail at the broader conversation around social impact investing and combining philanthropy with investing that Caroline was talking about. Is this something that's front and center when it comes to longer term planning, so-called performance plus for clients? Here's Mark Haefeli again.
Well, that's a great point. We increasingly see our clients looking for more than just a good investment. They want something we like to call performance plus. And oncology and cancer research is very interesting to clients around the globe, not just because it's a good investment, but because it touches on them and their families. At some point, it's very likely that 50% of people in the world will contract cancer over the course of their lifetime. And therefore, this touches families. And then the idea that they can invest in a fund that not only pushes the frontiers of research, but that they can also get a good return, makes oncology a very interesting space for us that hits on a number of things that clients are interested in.
When it comes to the wider significance of this fund, it's certainly interesting to look at where the money comes from. More than half was raised from APAC clients. So is this a landmark for impact investing in that region, in Dominic's view?
Yes, I think it is, because actually if you look at Asia, impact investing in Asia is pretty nascent. So this is not a field that Asia has got a particular record in to date. So the fact that over 50% of the fund was raised in Asia is an outstanding achievement. I mean, it's an amazing achievement for the clients that we have over in Asia. I would also say that we saw over 50% of the fund come from Asian clients, but also a significant portion of the funds came from emerging market clients overall. So I think that in itself is quite a milestone for impact investing, both in Asia in particular, but also more broadly in emerging markets. And it's an opportunity that we see, certainly from a UBS perspective, that we really want to expand on, because we think that that is an area where the appetite for impact investing is much stronger than perhaps people have historically thought.
In terms of possible sea changes in attitudes and behaviours, what about some remarks on impact investing from Ansbert Gadecker? What does he make of the global appetite for socially responsible investing?
We actually really got introduced to the idea of impact investing by UBS. And once we got really exposed to it, it made immediate sense to us and we really jumped on it. And I must say, I was even a little bit embarrassed that we didn't figure that out earlier. But it's a wonderful thing to do. And particularly in the area of oncology, I think it makes a whole lot of sense. So us, with a portion of our profits to give back, if you want, to oncology research, and then also to help patients with cancer in developing countries to get access to cancer care, we think is something that should absolutely be done. And it's wonderful to see that many of the UBS clients and investors actually feel the same way.
We've heard some of the detail of the scale of the fund, of its makeup, of the ambitions behind it. How would Dominic Vail sum up the overall objectives?
We're looking to mainstream impact investing. We think that it's something that's not a niche offering. It's something that we think over time we can mainstream into, you know, regular investment. And certainly from our own point of view, we're expanding the area pretty significantly at the moment. As we see, it's a big opportunity, and it's an opportunity that a lot of our clients are very interested in.
So when we consider innovation in this sort of context, is it a challenge or is it all about opportunity? Caroline Anstey.
I think it's both. If you talk to people in the development world or people who are working on research world, they'll say sometimes the problem is insufficient money. If you talk to people who work on the financing side, they'll say the problem is an insufficient pipeline of investables. I think it's neither. The challenge is bringing those things together, finding the investable and then mobilizing the financial support. If you can find that sweet spot, as happened with oncology, I think you're really off to the races then.
And delving deeper into the social impact aspect, What has MPM Capital attempted to engineer into this deal and others to help to deliver that? Bard Gieterman explains.
The major social impact is coming from developing cancer cures, but we did engineer in two mechanisms for additional social impact that should not negatively impact investor returns at all, and that is that we're donating 20% of our carried interest to cancer philanthropy, and we're also attaching a 1% royalty on future drug sales of these oncology products. And these royalties are really not paid until we've exited the great number of our investments. We sold them off, or the companies have IPO'd, and we've exited that way. But if successful, those two sources of capital for philanthropy, we think we're going to have a really positive social impact in addition to developing cancer cures. And those two areas that we'll be focusing on with that capital are improving access in the developing world to cancer care, and then also financing the basic science which goes into developing the next generation of cancer cures.
And a final word to Ansbert Gadecker. He stresses that this is the time to invest due to the major breakthroughs we're seeing.
This is really the time now to invest in oncology or to develop these drugs because of the major breakthroughs we see. There's really, in medicine, different times where you see breakthroughs in different areas. For instance, years ago, we were investing in antivirals and developed a drug called Sovaldi that cures hepatitis C. But that was probably sort of the biggest time in medicine since antibiotics. And we really see similar major breakthroughs happening now, but mostly in oncology.
And that's Ansbert Gadecker bringing us to the end of this 83rd edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance every week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via iTunes. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.